Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Exodus 20. We're going old school on this series through the Old Testament. We're continuing our series this week titled OSX Commandments. All right, I'm a little bit of a Mac guy, so I kind of stole from them. But this isn't your normal operating system that we're going to talk about. This is the operating system for the Christian life, right? OSX, 10, or X means 10, and it's the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to be walking through this series that we kicked off last week, and we're actually going to be diving into the first commandment this morning. Last week, we just took some time to kind of talk about why God gave us these commandments. And contrary to how many believe, it wasn't to torture us. It wasn't to make life boring, right? It wasn't because he just wants to rule and reign over us with these strict rules. We talked about last week that he gave us these commandments because he loves us. They're actually given to us out of love. He gave them to protect us and to keep us from going down paths that he knows would ultimately lead to destruction and pain and hurts in our lives. It's much like the good parents that set up loving guidelines and boundaries for their children because they know the consequences that their kids will experience or face if they don't set up these guidelines and boundaries. And so today we're gonna look at the first loving command that God gives us that he has placed in our life to protect us. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them this morning to Exodus 20, 1 through 3, and you can read along with me as we read the first three verses. This is what it says, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words. These are words from God, okay? Verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, this right here, this is what we were talking about last week. God's hand upon his people, that he loved them. He brought them out of this life of slavery. He brought them out of bondage. And it's out of that love that he now gives them these commandments. And so we're going to begin with the first commandment in verse 3, which says this, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. As I was studying this commandment this week, I came across a story about a pastor who was doing a wedding for an amateur golf champion and his soon-to-be bride. Now, knowing his background in golf, he planned to use a golf illustration in the middle of the wedding ceremony. And so at the rehearsal, he recruited the best man to bring a golf ball, and he said, when I ask for it, to hand it to him at the proper time. So the following day, at the moment in the ceremony that he was ready to share this illustration, he asked the best man if he had remembered the golf ball. Smiling, he reached into his pocket, but suddenly his expression changed. Is there a problem? The pastor asked. The best man replied, well, I remember the golf ball, but I just realized I forgot the rings. You wonder what was going through the bride's mind at that time, right? You what? Well, I share this illustration because sometimes we get so focused on other things that we forget the main thing. We forget what's most important. I've heard it said, and maybe you've heard the same before, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Did you catch that? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing for us as Christians is this first commandment. It's the most important thing. We have to get this one right. We have to focus on this one because it's the main thing. It starts with this one. This is the granddaddy of them all, I believe, right? I mean, they're all important. We need to do all of them, but it starts with this one because I don't think we can do the other ones if we don't get this one right. We have to make sure that God is number one. We have to make sure we put Him first, that we don't let anything else take the place of God in our lives. And I can tell you, this isn't easy. Now, I'm not sure how many of you think that a pastor, myself, doesn't have a problem with this. Many people, you know, oh, he's a pastor. He wouldn't have a problem with putting God first. Because I know that some of you may think I'm a lot like Mary Poppins, right? Practically perfect in every way. I told you, I talked about the pedestal earlier, right? I mean, it happens. You look up here, oh, look at him. He's up there, you know, he's this godly man. He probably, you know, doesn't do anything wrong, you know, and you're right. No, I'm just kidding. No, ask my wife. That is not true at all. Actually, she's so nice. She would be like, oh, no, he's great. And deep down inside, she's like, if you only knew. If you only knew. No, she hopefully would tell you the truth. I'm not perfect. I mean, can you believe that? Can you believe that? Your pastor isn't perfect. Your pastor struggles with the commandments. He struggles with the first commandment, putting God first. But here's the thing, the reality is, I don't think there's anybody in this world that doesn't struggle with this. I don't care how holier than thou they may seem, all right? How close to looking like me they may look. There isn't anybody that doesn't struggle with putting God first. Everybody struggles with this challenge in their lives. There are numerous examples throughout the Scriptures where people failed to put God first. Matter of fact, an example that I thought of was the Church of Ephesus. In Revelations 2, you may remember where God begins to speak to each of the churches. In that section about Ephesus, it tells us all the great things that the Church of Ephesus has done. I mean, all these amazing things, you know, they had persevered, they had endured hardships, right? Their teaching was doctrinally sound. All these great things about this church. But God said, but there's one thing I have against you. You've lost your first love. God was no longer number one. Other things had crept into that place. And time again, we do the same thing, right? Time and time again, we put other things before God. We let other things get in the place of God, who should be first. We allow these other things to become first. Now, like I said, no one's perfect, and that's going to happen from time to time. But the problem is this. Oftentimes, many of us, we don't even realize it. We don't realize that we begin to put other things in front of the Lord. You see, it's one thing, you know, in our failures that we do it on act, you know, we do it. We mess up. I'm like, oh, God, I'm so sorry I messed up, right? And we seek forgiveness and grace. That's what God is all about. But you see, there are times where we don't even realize it. We become so blinded by the fact that we put these other things before God. You know, the commandment reads, "You shall have no other gods before me." And the problem is, oftentimes, we don't recognize those things. We don't recognize what it is that we have made into gods in our life. You see, when we hear the term gods, we often think of those pagan gods, right, that other religions and cultures might worship. Oh, well, I would never do that. I don't worship pagan gods and other gods of, you know, these other religions. But the truth is, this commandment goes a lot deeper than that. It's not just talking about those as gods, right? You see, we have all sorts of gods that have crept into our world and that we exalt above the one true God. Let me just give you a few examples. I'm just going to throw out a few examples for you this morning. How about this God? Any of you ever exalted the God of success? Right? We all want to be successful. Success has become a huge god in our culture today. Doesn't matter what it's in, you know, whether it's sports, whether it's business, whether it's school, whether it's this, that, whether it's the church. It happens, right? We want to be bigger, better. Yeah, look, we're better than that church down the street. Success, we get caught up in this idea of being bigger, better, climbing the ladder of success. And the sad thing is, people who pursue this God, they give up their integrity, or they abandon their values. Sometimes they abandon their friends and even family members, right? To achieve this thing called success. This God of success has a way of subtly destroying our lives and our relationships. You see, success in the eyes of God is a lot different than success in the eyes of the world. When we put God first and we make Him the one true God, it's then that we begin to experience true success, His success, because our success comes from God and not from the world. What about this God? I don't think I ever have made this mistake, but the God of self. Me? We live in a world, right, that's stuck on itself, where it's all about us, right? Me, all about me. As if the world was created for us alone. Yes, God made you special, and He loves you very much, as Bob and Larry tell us on VeggieTales, right? But here's the thing. He made all of us special. He loves all of us very much, and He loves us equally as much and as special. And we forget that. We forget that life isn't just about us. And here's the thing, when you think about it, it's sad that we continue to go down this road. Because isn't this what got us to this fallen world in the first place? If you go back to Adam and Eve, right? What caused them to bite that apple? They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be gods themselves. If you just eat of this apple, you see, God doesn't want you to eat of it because He knows it will make you like a God, like Him. Oh, give me that. Right? I want to be like God. I want to be a God myself. But when we put ourselves above God, we're destined for failure. We saw that with the fall. We're in this fallen world because of that concept and that idea of putting ourselves above God. God must be first, not us. I got one more for you. What about the God of money? Man, we don't have that problem in our world, do we? We do. We live in a world and culture that loves money and loves wealth, loves stuff. It's what seems to make the world go round, right? And we get caught up in that lie that if we have enough money, then all our troubles will just disappear, right? But the reality is, money is often the root of the problems. We think money's the answer, but again, the reality is, God is the answer. He is our provider. He will take care of us. He will give us what we need. Now, capital N-E-E-D, right? That's the tough part for us to understand. He will give us what we need because we want more than what we need at times. No, I want like the rest of it. I want this. I want that. I want everything. But He's our provider. He'll take care of us. He'll give us what we need. And we have to trust in Him in this area of money. We can't put money above God. Because it tells us in the Scriptures, what does a person profit if he gains the whole world, yet what? Loses his soul. See, a lot of people put the God of money before God. It's so easy for us to do. Now, these are just a few examples of the gods that we often put before the one true God. I want to take a moment this morning. I want to revert back to my old youth group style, all right? In youth group, as I would speak, because normally, you know, to keep kids' attentions, you had to, you know, reel them back in every once in a while. I don't have that problem with you. You guys pay attention or you fall asleep. But I want to do a little audience participation this morning, all right? So I gave you three examples of some of the gods that we may put before God, but I'm wondering if you don't have some thoughts of what are some things that at times, and I'm not saying it's you guys, you would never do this, but maybe what other people in the world put before God. Can you guys, you can just yell out some examples of what are some sports, yes. own family. It's true. We exalt, you know, not just, I mean, see, that's probably my wife more than me. I exalt myself because I'm about myself. My wife exalts our family. That would be, you know, our two problems there, right? Because video games. Yeah. Oh, that's my son. See, our whole family is just coming out here with our failures and our weaknesses. So it's true. And it's not just kids with the video games either. I know that. So what else? Anybody? Yes. People's opinions. Yes. Celebrities? Significant others. Cars. Education. No one would ever do that. Wait, are you calling me? I heard the ducks. I'm like, come on. Are you calling me out? I've never done that before. I'm just glad that they're on Saturdays so I don't have to miss church for them, okay? We'll never have a Saturday night service ever because of... No, I'm just kidding. No. It's true, though. Sports stuck. I mean, we do. We put these things, right? The reality is we could sit here probably all day and name off these things that we exalt and we lift before the Lord. We have a lot of gods in our world that we let creep into that place that is reserved for God. And here's the thing. God knows the troubles that will bring, okay? When the Ducks lose the national championship and you cry. God knows the troubles that it will bring. And that's why He says, you shall have no other gods before me. Because He loves us. Now, some might say that these commands, though, okay, if He loves us, why do they sound so harsh, right? Some think, well, they just, you know, I just get this picture of God pointing His finger at me, you know, standing there saying, you shall have no other gods before you. And that's this picture that a lot of people see of God when they picture these commands. But here's the thing. I don't think that that's the picture at all of God. I think it's more like the picture of the Father. He's just drove up to the top of some lookout with His family, okay? And as they begin to pile out of the car, His 3-year-old son, Billy, is so excited, makes a mad dash towards the edge of the ravine, right? And so how does the Father respond? Out of pure love and compassion for His child, He yells out, Billy, stop! Right? Now, is there some emphasis behind those words? Yeah, there are, right? Might it sound a little harsh if you didn't understand if you just heard this dad yell, Billy, stop, and you didn't know what he was, wouldn't it sound a little harsh? Yes, if you didn't understand the context. But why would a dad say it in this way? He says it in this way because he knows what could happen if his little boy doesn't stop. He knows he could lose his little boy over the edge of the ravine. I believe this is the same context in which God is giving us these Ten Commandments. He's lovingly raising His voice, maybe a little, just to get our attention. Darren, stop. He does this to keep us from doing the things that will hurt us because he knows that we're on the edge of a cliff and if we don't stop, we're going to go over the side of it and the pain and the hurt that it will bring. God wants to be our God. And the reason is because He knows that no one else can care for us the way that He can. He is a faithful, faithful God. He's so faithful that He's even committed to us when we fail. How do the other gods of this world do when we mess up? Right? They leave us behind. But God is so committed to us that He's there for us even when we fail, when we make mistakes, when we mess things up. He loves us. And He will never give up on us. And I love it. In Psalm 116, it says that when we call upon Him, He turns His ear to us. He's a God that listens to us. I don't do a good job of that. How many times do my kids say, "Hey, Dad, yeah, what?" But I'm really not focusing. I'm not listening to what they're saying. He turns his ear to us. He listens to us. He isn't ever too busy for us. You know how I said earlier? The fact that he loves us, God loves you, or he made you special and he loves you very much. He can say that to all of us. He can be there for all of us. He can listen to all of us simultaneously at the same time, which is an amazing thought. He will always be there for us. He loves us. And I love in verse 13 of Psalm 116, it talks about taking up the cup of salvation. Now, here's the thing. This word salvation isn't the same word that we know today for salvation, that you see in the New Testament. Okay, this was before the cross. And the people of the Old Testament, they didn't know salvation in the way that we do, the way that they did in the New Testament. In this verse, it's referring the many times that the Lord had salvaged his people. And that's what that word salvation comes from salvaging his people. How he had helped them. How he had come around them and brought them up from their hurts and pains that they had experienced. And see, the reality is, God does the same thing for us today. He salvages our lives, right? He comforts us in difficulties. He helps us overcome doubts and failures. He lifts us up when we're unable to lift up ourselves. Now, can we say that about anyone else? Yeah, we may have people in our life that we love and are there for us, but the reality is we're always going to fail someone somewhere along the line because we're human. God will never fail us. God knows that no one loves us like He does. No one looks out for us the way that He will. And so He's simply asking for us to put Him first. To put Him as our Lord. It's what being a Christian is all about. That's what being a Christian is all about. If we're calling ourselves Christians, this is where it starts. If you were here last week, right here we had our big giant, as some people refer to it, as our hot tub, all right, a portable baptismal here, and we did baptisms. And the thing is before I do a baptism, I ask a question to everybody before I baptize them. I ask them this question: have you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Here's the thing, there's two parts to that question. One of them is a little easier to answer to than the other, right? You see, we all want Jesus to be our Savior. We all want to be saved. Oh, He's my Savior. He'll save me from this or whatever, sin and death. Yes, I want that. That's what I want. We want to be saved. But it's the other part of that question that's a little bit more difficult. Is He Lord? Is He Lord of your life? Which simply means, have you put Him first? Have you given Him control of your life? That's what the first commandment is all about. God loves us. He created us, and whether we want to admit it or not, He knows what's best for us. That's why He wants us to put Him first. And as we put Him first, He promises that He will then take care of us. He knows what's best for our lives. He will come alongside and He will take care of us, and He will cover us in the midst of our failures and mistakes. I read this story about an 8-year-old boy who was at his desk one morning taking a test. He was so nervous and distraught about getting the test done on time that he accidentally wet his pants. He looked down and he saw a little puddle that had formed underneath his desk. He was horrified, completely embarrassed. He looked up and he saw his teacher motioning him to her desk. He was so scared, he couldn't move. What should I do? He was thinking. Well, noticing that the boy seemed frozen in his chair, the teacher got up and began to make her way towards him. Oh no, he thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to be the laughingstock of my class. Now what he didn't know was at that very moment, one of his classmates was walking down the aisle behind him carrying a large fishbowl. When she got up alongside him, she seemed to stumble and dropped the heavy bowl, spilling water all over him as it crashed to the ground. Water, glass, fish everywhere. Covered by water from the fish tank, the young boy thought, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. There is a God after all." But then it dawned on him, little boys don't like little girls, especially little girls that spill water on them. So he looked at her and said, "What's wrong with you? Now I'm soaked. Why don't you watch where you're going, you clumsy fool?" As the class laughed at the girl, the teacher then took the boy, now covered in dignity, to the gym to get him some dry clothes that he could wear throughout the rest of the day. At the end of the day, as the boy walked out of the school doors, he saw the girl that had dropped the fishbowl walking home all by herself. As he began to reflect on the incident, he wondered. He then walked up to the girl and asked her, "Did you drop the fishbowl on purpose?" "I did," she said. "Why would you do that?" "I saw what happened to you. I knew what you were going through because, you see, I once wet my pants too." I doubt this little boy ever forgot what this little girl did for him. And here's the thing. I don't ever want to forget what the Lord has done for me, right? He spilled his precious blood for me to cover up my wet pants, literally, to cover up my mistakes, to cover up my sin. He's covered up my shame with his dignity, with his hope. Why would I ever want to put anyone or anything else in front of him? Why would I seek other gods? You shall have no other gods before me. Because here's the thing, doing so is settling for less than the best. And though none of us deserve the best, not even those that are like Mary Poppins, okay? That's what God's offering us if we just put Him first. He wants to give us His best if we make Him number one. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for just Your love for us. Lord, when we look at these commandments, we realize that, Lord, they're not this harsh God pointing a finger, giving us these rules and regulations to make our life boring and miserable. They're given to us so that we can enjoy life, that we can experience the freedoms that we have in You, and that we can keep ourselves from the hurt and pain that the other gods of this world will bring to us, Lord. So, Lord, we thank You for Your love. We can't even understand Your love, a God that would give His life for us, that would spill His blood to cover our mistakes. What an amazing, beautiful picture that is, Lord. And I pray for myself and each of us here, Lord, that we wouldn't forget that. That we wouldn't forget what You've done for us. And that as we continue to remember what You've done for us, we will continue to do our best to make You first. To put You first in our life. To make You number one, Lord. That You would be the one true only God in our lives, Lord. And Lord, I just pray if there are things that we've allowed to creep up into that area, help us to identify it, Lord. Show us those areas in our life where we failed. Show us those areas in our life where we've messed up in this, Lord. And may we walk in obedience and correct it, Lord. May we be people who exalt You above those things. Lord, we just thank You for this word. May You allow it to challenge us this week as we go throughout our week, looking for those things that at times we may try to lift up. May we see them and make sure we're continuing to lift up You, Lord. We thank You for these things. Encourage us, challenge us, Lord, as we walk through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.